Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Behind the Showroom, a podcast by Wheat and Kia. My name is Matthew Funk. I'm a sales consultant.
And I'm Tyler Prasad, also a sales consultant.
How's it going, Tyler?
Not too bad. How are you, man?
Not too bad. So what's our first topic for today?
Why do most truck drivers, around your area, why do they never use their trucks for towing or hauling or anything? Also, just want to point out, this is all based on our opinion, so I'm sorry if you get offended. This is just our opinion. But, yeah. Why do they never use their trucks for towing or anything like that?
I think people just like the height and the ride of the truck. I don't think people are actually using them for hauling. Mm-hmm. Like, you see a lot of people who just wouldn't be your stereotypical truck driver, and they never see a hitch in their life.
Yeah.
Like, I see, like, people, sometimes they only tow their boat to the cabin and stuff like that, but other than that, it's not getting any, like, use, or maybe, like, a dump trip every now and then.
Yeah, true.
But I think they use their beds, but they don't use their towing capacity. So it's like, why would you go with that extra bit of engine and car? You give up on aerodynamics, everything like that.
You give up on parking in general. Like, oh, there's not a truck driver that can park in between the lines, I don't think.
Oh, anywhere. No, unless you're in Costco. I love the Costco.
Well, you just drive over the curb at that
point. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Costco parking lots. Oh my God.
Yeah. You ever seen those videos about that, like, Costco parking wars where they just turn off on like the street and then just go straight into the parking spot?
Really?
Yeah, people do that.
Oh, wait. They, like, drive over the curb?
Over the curb, over the trees.
I've seen the one Jeep guy who does that. Yeah. Oh, speaking of parking lots, and, like, especially grocery store parking lots, have you seen the guy, the cart narc?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Where he throws, like, the little, like, sticker
thing. He throws magnets at people's cars if they don't put their cart back. And he's like, really, really, like, super nice about it, but they get so mad and try and beat him up. Oh, it's funny.
I mean, in that scenario, like, I feel like I'm going to be a Karen by saying this, but just go and move your car back. Like, you know what's going to happen.
No, yeah, no, like, it's true. Like, just move it back. It's not that hard.
No, it's not.
But, I don't know, people are interesting. I don't see it happen very much at Costco. I mean, it might be more of a U.S. thing.
I feel like it is.
I don't want to say it, but I feel like U.S. people are a little more inconsiderate when it comes to that kind of stuff than us Canadian folk.
Shots fired on that one. Like,
I am just saying, it might be true.
Can you see by the dark?
Obviously, they can't see when they leave their parking or their shopping cart in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But see, people with trucks, actually, I feel like people with trucks are less inclined because they're just like, all right, just got it loaded in my bed. I'm just going to leave this here. That's my stereotypical truck driver.
Yeah, but like, my biggest thing with trucks, and I get it, I'm 5'5", man, but like, how do you park a truck? Even if you're 6'2", I don't think you can grasp, you know, seeing past the blind spots when you're parking.
Oh,
a truck.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I don't know many trucks that have the 360 view either, so
not
that
really,
makes it a little bit trickier, especially when you're trying to park between the lines on a truck.
Mm-hmm. Or parallel park in a truck.
Yeah. All you got to do is just stick your head out the window and you look at the lines. That's the best you can do. Like, the nice thing about trucks is that if you're towing, you have that little camera that has, like, the hitch cam.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually line it up pretty well.
Yeah.
And I know Ford actually has it where
you can do it itself.
Yeah, yeah. It'll sense the hitch in the background. It'll actually just go back up into the hitch. Yeah.
Well, Ford also has, like, their smart parking stuff too, right?
Yeah, which is nice because I feel like people these days don't know how to back up into a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember with me, it was always me and my dad and his, like, 99 F-150. And we always had to give us, like, controls, like, all right, come.
Like,
come,
the directions from the back of the truck kind of thing. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. And then now it's like, all right, take me to it. It's just guides you right to it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But, no, like, I think trucks, the the smaller trucks are better. Like, if you're going to go for a truck and you're not going to use it for anything, go for like a Ranger, Tacoma, a Tasman. But
more on that later.
But yeah, like, it just makes more sense if you want to park and like actually have a good car for the city and be fuel efficient, then that's where I go.
Don't really see a lot of people doing it, but you can prove me wrong. For most people, a six-cylinder is better than an eight-cylinder. All right, Dodge Camaro guys, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Yeah, six-cylinders are better. I hate to break it to you. Sure, V8 sound cool. Sure. They're long and big. Whoop. Anyways, six-cylinders are for sure better.
I wouldn't go with that. I'd say it depends on your usage of it. Like, if you are towing, if you need something with power, if you're getting into a truck.
Why can a six-cylinder not have enough power to do that?
I mean.
Tacoma.
That is true. Oh, that's a bad example. The Tacoma has a power of a four-cylinder with the gas mileage of an eight-cylinder.
That's true. Okay, hold on.
A good example is the Ford F-150 EcoBoost. Mm-hmm. So that one has the 3.5 twin turbo. Like, they have plenty of towing power and everything, but there's something about just having a V8. Actually, the V8 is better on gas than the twin turbo V6.
That's not true.
It is true. Look it up.
So not true.
Look it up.
I've had customers with a Dodge Hemi, and they fill up at least once a week, and that's like highway driving.
Well, no, like,
not towing anything.
It's weird. So, like, at least the Ford, the 5-liter, that one is more fuel efficient than the EcoBoost. Or they are like almost identical, which at that point you're just like, all right, which one
do I like
better?
See, that doesn't make sense though. Why would they still have the EcoBoost option then?
It's a great question. It's probably because they put it in other cars. Also, you can get a even smaller V6, the 2.7 mm-hmm. twin turbo.
Yeah.
Which that's mostly for if you're doing city driving and it's like a pavement princess and mm-hmm. you don't do anything with it. But I would say that a V8 is good for special applications. So
all around though. If you had to pick an all around 6 or an 8.
I'd do a turbo 6.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I'd do a turbo 6,
they're
but that's
so
because
versatile.
That's because they can do most of the stuff a V8 does while still having a decent fuel economy. Mm-hmm. Again, not too good, but you're kind of sitting on the fence there. Yeah.
Make this less awkward. Your cameraman's asking for a microphone.
It's like, sorry, Tyler wants to chime in here.
Hi, this is Tyler. The only thing I could find on the gas mileage between, like, you're talking about the Tacoma, right? The only thing I could find on Reddit was someone saying the V6 is just a V8 gas mileage with I4 power, and that just kind of made me giggle, so I just wanted to point that out. Is that what you said? Yeah. But yeah, I can't actually find any, like, hard numbers with a quick Google about which one is more fuel efficient. But yeah, I would honestly probably think it'd be the V6, but, you know.
Like,
don't talk yet.
Like, the thing is, they started putting inline fours in Tacomas.
Yeah.
And that's just blasphemous.
Well, okay.
Like, if you have an inline four in a truck, like a Ranger also has an inline four. There's a few other little trucks.
But, hold on, the Ranger inline four is actually pretty peppy. You should go drive the Ranger that we've got on the lot. It can also tow 7,500 pounds, 7,300 or something like that, which is
still
insane.
Just feels wrong.
If you're sure, man.
Only time I'd get an inline four in my truck would be the Chevy Colorado or Canyon. That's the 2.8 Duramax diesel.
Okay, back to the Ford Ranger. It rides like an SUV. It's small enough, it's easy to park. Sorry, this is also coming from a 5'5 short guy, but it's easy to park. It can also fit a whole bunch of stuff in the back and still have 5 seats. And it's called power.
It's a four-cylinder. It's a four-cylinder.
All right.
We don't need to talk any further.
Okay.
It's a four-cylinder, and I will never have a four-cylinder in a truck.
Does the Ranger not have a V6 option?
No, it's got a 2.3.
The Ranger Raptor, I believe, does.
Yeah, but just like the XLT, it's got a 2.3.4.
Yeah, it's actually a Focus RS engine.
Mm-hmm. Same as the Mazda Speed engine.
You're right. I do love it.
It's kind of like I know some things and stuff.
Okay. But I personally, I wouldn't go for it. But that also means my Mazda could tow 7,500 pounds.
But it can't. Where is the Mazda now? Is the Mazda in the room with us? Oh, sorry, guys. We're going to have to take a short break.
I wish it was. I miss the Mazda. For you that don't know, I used to have a Mazda Speed 3. I love it. I got rid of it. Loved it. I loved it. Emphasize on the past tense. But I have a Stinger now, which I also love. But
and it's also a... What engine is that? What engine is in your little Stinger there?
3.3 twin turbo.
Twin turbo what? 3.3 twin turbo what?
V6.
Okay.
But...
Okay, but you can agree that a V6 is a lot more versatile than your typical 8-cylinder, right?
I guess so. That works for me.
There we go. Just because there's a cosmetic mod that exists for your car doesn't mean you need to buy it.
I'm going to start this off.
All right.
Light bars.
Like truck light bars?
I've seen people put light bars on sedans. No names are being named.
Hold on.
But I knew a guy who put 3 light bars on a Dodge Dart.
Oh!
And underglow. Damn. Underglow is another one.
Okay, fair. Are you talking about the light bar that goes by the trunk?
No, you put one on the roof, one on the hood, and one in the bumper.
Sorry.
But that's something that I personally know.
No, thank you. Doesn't make any sense. Your car comes with enough lights. I get it if you want to change the headlights to LED headlights or whatever else, but you don't need a freaking light bar, man.
The other thing I can't stand is the fake carbon fiber. Mm-hmm. Like when people peel off the sticker and they're
wrap it.
It's just not good looking. No. We can tell.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm just, to begin with, I'm not a fan of carbon fiber whatsoever.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't mind carbon fiber, but.
Just depends on the car.
Like, it has to look real.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah.
I can just, like, I can peel it right here. Like, it's not good. Like, or people who put, like, big, big stickers on the outside of their cars. Mm-hmm. I see a decent amount of those coming out.
Like the star sticker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people with stickers. And, like, okay, power to you. But, like, come on. Like,
I just don't think there's anything unique or creative about
it. It's not tasteful.
No. Or like this is a pretty like well-known mod that nobody else likes is like the little tow hook thing on the back of your car. Yeah. Like the Forza mod, like the.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like those Japanese like.
Oh, like the train thingies.
Yeah. I forget what they're called, but
it's something Japanese.
Put up a picture.
Yeah. It's like the little heart thing that goes onto your HS handle.
I've seen people put them off their tow hooks.
Yeah.
Too.
And like hang them like so low that they're dragging while you're driving.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I'm not a fan of those. But like if you're gonna put something on the back, it has to be a drift car and it has to be a little plushy. Cause that's your drift buddy.
What about the wheel ladders? You see that?
What do you mean?
You guys haven't seen online the wheel ladders. You know the wheel ladder for your TRD Pro? The wheel ladder?
Like no.
It's a tiny, the Toyotas and like some off-roading vehicles that have a little ladder on the side of their vehicle, but no one's using that to actually climb to their roof or get roof racks. So this dude made a tiny magnetic little ladder that you put on the side of a vehicle, but it's like the size of your hand. Like it's so funny. I just want you guys to debate this. I'm just adding on to this.
I mean,
I don't like big spoilers, period. Whether they be stock, factory, or aftermarket. And I see Tyler's face when I said that. So please proceed. I'm going to hand this microphone back to Matt.
I'll wait for Matt there.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
You might have more to say.
Depends on the car.
That's what I was going
to say. If it is like something like an M3 that needs a GT spoiler, absolutely. If it's like a WRX, God no, stop. If it's a BRZ, stop.
Oh man, the amount of BRZs I see with GT wings. Yeah.
The Dodge Dart with the GT wings. The Dodge Dart.
That's the guy. That's the guy who has the light bars. He has that.
Oh, it's so bad.
Not saying any names. He also has a General Lee horn.
Yeah. It was bad enough.
What? Sorry?
You know what the General Lee is?
Oh, I heard General Lee horn.
No.
No, like the horn sound.
Yeah.
Oh, the horn by the General Lee.
Like yeah.
The
horn's challenger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know that thing has like a special horn.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So he has that. I think it's like totaled though, so we're fine. We want to see it on the road.
Hey, the point of my point is that wings matter in the situation. They don't matter for looks. If you've got a car that literally does not go past 150 miles an hour, you don't need it. You literally do not need it.
Yes. Like, if you're not taking it out to the track, you don't need the downforce to keep you on the road. Yeah. They are not functional.
Also, sure, you can have one. Just don't make it the most obnoxious-looking thing on your entire car ever.
Spoilers on, like, a Dodge Durango or a big SUV.
No. No. I've seen it. Oh, yeah. And I say no.
Yeah.
If your car is a rear-wheel drive, you need it.
Yes.
If your car is all-wheel drive, you don't particularly need it, but it's nice. If your car is a front-wheel drive, there's no
size also matters. Size matters so much when it comes to it too, because like if it's so big that you can't like I don't know if it's like
you can't
4 feet
your
long,
rear view window, like if your rear window, like you have a problem.
Yeah,
you are not doing good.
If it
there's some underlying problems there, you should probably get checked out.
Anyways, if you want to do mods to your cars, just come and talk to us. We'll help you out.
Exactly.
Alrighty, now this part's called Kia Connect, and we're going to talk about the Kia Tasman. It's Kia's first C-segment pickup truck, so it's going to be a little bit on that smaller side. It's also
their first truck ever.
Their first truck ever, really, yeah.
Like, I honestly did not expect Kia to start making trucks.
I think it's a unique idea.
I do, too. I really hope it comes to North America, because there's, again, you see majority, almost like half the cars on the road are trucks in Canada, at least.
Yeah.
I know they're pretty big in the US too. Again, we talked about how people don't always use them, but it's still a nice option to have, especially with the engine configurations that might be coming out.
But then you get to think like, okay, what about the Hyundai Santa Cruz? Like, I don't see a lot of those. I think I've maybe seen three of those. In the entire city. I don't think they sell a lot of those either. And I think if they were to bring it here, do you think that's actually going to make a penetration in the market?
I think so. I think the main thing about the Santa Cruz is the style that was putting people off. It looks like a Tucson in the front. Yeah. And people are like, I want the actual truck. I don't want something that looks like a SUV or a smaller SUV. Mm-hmm.
I think if they were to bring it to Canada, at least in this case, if they had a diesel powertrain, I think that might make a very big, I don't know, boom in the market for sure.
Well, the only thing is that they don't pass emissions. Like the Kia Seltos, the Kia Sorento, all in Europe, they all use diesel engines. And we haven't been able to get them here because of emissions.
Well, I mean, but think about it, though. Like, diesel here, it's sort of common, but like going to like Europe, diesel's like,
oh man, big. Everything's
it's
diesel.
Big.
Like, but see, if they can get like a Volkswagen Passat, the Jetta, you also get your Canyon with the diesel.
Hey, and they were known as the most like one of the most reliable models Volkswagen's ever made too.
Oh yeah. No, they're great. And that's why Kia is really big in Europe, is because those diesel engines that they make are great.
But you could also say that they don't really get as harsh of winters as we do here.
Yeah,
especially
that's
in Saskatchewan, it's
that might be part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this might be part of the lore. I feel like the weather up there is much better for diesels than it is here.
Or much more manageable.
Yes, because you got to worry about your glow plugs. You got to keep the car on, make sure it's good enough to fire.
Yeah.
Diesels are a lot more maintenance that maybe the North American customer isn't accustomed to.
True.
So, like, you have to change your fuel filters, your diesel oil. And let's be honest, North Americans, I feel like they're less culturally inclined compared to the Europeans.
To put in that effort?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like the government restrictions are lighter there.
Mm-hmm.
On cars, emissions, everything like that. So it just makes it easier to handle.
Oh, Tyler's chiming in again.
No, 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 yeah, they're no. not. They're so much more harsh. I did a little bit of Googling on this. I asked them, I cut it out because it was kind of, no one really knew the answer, but why are diesel cars so popular in Europe? Basically, they had this huge push for like clean energy and whatnot and huge emissions regulations. I'm sure you're all familiar with Dieselgate and the Volkswagen scandal of their engines. And if they were stationary testing, then they could keep their emissions down. But if they were in movement, they would spike their emissions all the way up, but they did that just so they could pass testing because testing was done on a what's it called, wheel thing that they don't talk about.
Like a regular basis?
A dyno. Oh, they're done on a dyno. But yeah, so basically it was seen like this whole clean diesel thing. Diesels, you know, a tank usually lasts a little bit longer versus gas, and it just kind of became a thing. And then once they realized that, oh, this whole clean diesel thing isn't really a real thing, they were already so entrenched in diesel that everyone was like, it's kind of just a status quo.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going downhill for diesel. Like, I don't think anybody's like really making a big push for it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like diesel is pretty common when, if you especially bring it to North America and having a truck, I think like diesel is something that people would want. And like, yeah.
Extra torque, towing power with better fuel economy.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't think Europe has like a mandate for when they want to go full EV, do they? At least I haven't heard about it personally or see anything about it, maybe because I don't live in Europe, but
I know there's a lot of EVs in Europe.
There is. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
There are a lot of EVs. I hear EV customers, they actually tried EVs in Europe, and they're just, oh, I'm actually looking to get one now that I'm back home.
Hey, but an EV in like London is like super practical. Like extremely practical, especially because they have like those cars that you can rent, and you can rent it for like a certain amount of hours or whatever, and you just park them back in another spot.
That is true.
Like our scooters that we've gotten, Regina.
Oh yeah, I love the scooters. Who doesn't love the scooters? But I think that the EVs in Europe are going to take over, like because they don't get the weather that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to own and maintain an EV up there when you don't have to worry about super cold weather.
Hey, okay, hold on.
Yeah, hold on.
Say what you want about an EV, but they're going to start faster than your gas vehicle in the wintertime. Last winter, when pretty much all of our gas and, you know, emissions vehicles were sitting out there in the minus 40, minus 50 weather, the EVs were the only ones to start. And the hybrids.
Hybrids can jump start themselves. So, that's pretty cool.
Say what you want, but that's a big bonus. It can handle the weather.
Jeez, I'm cutting in a lot. Jeez Louise. I just kind of wanted to chat about, we were just talking about how EV adoption should have probably been popular in America versus Europe because Americans like less maintenance and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If your goal is less maintenance, I mean, an electric motor still has like oil components that need like a lubricant or an oil.
Mm-hmm. GRU.
Right. But other than that, like, it's way less maintenance. You know, people's concerns about, like, you know, the battery cost or heating up in winter. But, again, all of those things are, like, pretty much mess if you just go check it out for yourself at the end of the day. And I saw this one comment, like, imagine being stuck on the highway in negative 40-degree weather. Would you rather be in an ICE vehicle or an EV, right? And everyone was like, well, an EV, because if an EV is just running its heat pump, it's going to last for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If a gas vehicle is running its tank on idle to keep you warm, it's going to run out way sooner than the EV will. So, you know, it's kind of there's obviously pros and cons to both, but I'm, you know, yeah.
The nice thing in that scenario though, like EV vehicles, you can kind of control where you want your power to go. As with a gas vehicle, you really can't because it's either the engine on or battery on. One drains, you're done. You can't do either or. Welcome back to After Dark, where we talk about our own topics because it's our show.
Not yours.
There you go. So light bulb thieves.
Apparently there's light bulb thieves, plural. I just learned that it's plural people running around and just stealing them.
In what city?
Regina, sorry.
Regina,
it's just. But no, I don't get why you'd need light bulbs. I mean, I get it if your house, like, you maybe need some replacements. Don't light bulb replacements last, like, years now?
Well, yeah, you can also go buy a four-pack of light bulbs for, like, $12.
Like...
Also, Amazon exists. You could probably get them for cheaper on Amazon.
Go steal, like, catalytic converters or something.
I mean, honestly, like, be original here, man. Like, steal. Jesus
Christ. Like, I don't know. Like, who wakes up one day and then it's like, yeah.
Love the light bulbs. Light bulbs.
So we talked a little bit about the implications of that. So people were saying it's either A, someone's light bulb burnt out and they were on their way home and they thought, look at that porch light, that could be in my kitchen, which is the most innocent explanation. Mm-hmm. The other one is someone is trying to dim an area to commit an act of certain proportions or whatever, right? There's two sides to this.
But then if the person's got a Ring doorbell camera, they can see you unscrewing.
If I find this video, I doubt I will, because it was on Just Bins like ages ago. Mm. But the woman literally walks up, she covers the Ring camera, takes the bulb, walks away. Like, what in the world?
You can still see.
See, I don't think at that point it's going to be anything innocent. Or maybe they're just like, oh, this looks fun. They just take the light bulb. But let's be honest, it's probably not that. Or maybe they were on a substance. They were feeling good. And they just decided.
Got an idea.
Exactly. Light bulb.
Oh, a light bulb. No.
But they realized they needed an actual light bulb to have a light bulb idea. So they stole one. Mm. But power to them. I mean... Well, power to the light bulb. Not anymore.
Why is there so many puns?
But, I mean, they did a good job. They covered the Ring camera. It's not like they were rude about it. I mean, if it were me, I'd probably say...
I feel like stealing my light bulb is kind of rude.
If it was me, I'd probably be like, ooh, sorry.
Just leave me a note next time. Like, geez.
Oh, speaking of notes, so...
Leave your insurance on my desk.
Like, what? We were at this training course, and I live downtown, and I have one parking spot that I pay already too much for, and I have two vehicles. So I park my Stinger in my regular parking lot, and then, and when I go to work, I usually take one of the cars, so I only have, like, one there at a time. Left my motorcycle at this training course, in the Salvation Army parking lot. So I was like, they won't notice. Left there one day, perfect. The second day, you drop me off, there's like, to the owner of this sweet ride, you cannot park here anymore. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But they were super nice about it. Like, it didn't say that. I'm like paraphrasing, but I was like, oh, whatever you say, I'm going to park there next week.
I'm confused. Sorry. Is your spot or is it your
spot? No, it's not my spot.
Yeah.
This is not my spot. But I have one spot that's like across from my apartment building and then one spot in the Salvation Army parking lot. And I was like, oh, not many people park here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it works. I didn't get a ticket. I just got a kind of a nice note.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
I don't mind that.
I do that to people that park in my spot, too. But I pay for my spot.
Just adding on to like street parking, I recently moved into a house, and as you probably know, you don't own the street when you own a house or rent a house. The amount of people that will just straight up park in front of, and I get it, like you're within your legal rights, but like, bro, that's my parking spot. I live here. Like, anyway, that's all I wanted to add.
That's valid though. Like, it's like, it's my house. Like, if it's not, like, I do it if it's, like, late. I don't do it if it's the middle of the day. But if it's, like, late and I just need somewhere to park for the night, I'll park wherever I need. But middle of the day, yeah, that's not what I like to do. Because, like, what if someone's just, like, after work, they're just, like, park in here?
Oh, speaking of parking, I got a story for you. I live in an apartment across the university, like, across the street from the university. Is like before I moved in with my girlfriend. She was living there at the same time. They decided to, in the wintertime, they decided to like plow the street. And they didn't have any signs up. They didn't have anything on the website. And they had nothing. And I parked on the street the night before. I wake up in the morning, go to head out for work. Like
P. Diddy. No, not P. Diddy.
I didn't know.
Wake up in the morning like P. Diddy. That's
yeah, so yeah.
Sorry, I'm
like, yeah, it's all right. No.
Got my dress up on the floor. I'm going to hit this city.
Before I leave,
brush my teeth.
All right. Guys, I'm going to leave.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
I just imagine Rowley from Diary of a Wimpy Kids. You know that scene?
No.
Rowley?
I know Rowley.
From Diary of the Wimpy Kids movie?
I know. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know, no.
Oh man, you're the
only
watch
scene
that
I remember is him going.
Yeah,
yeah, like I love that one.
Anyways, no, my story is that I tried to park on the street. They didn't mention that they were plowing the snow. I woke up in the morning in a panic, ready to go to work, and I'm like, my car's not there. I remember parking it there. I ran around the block. My car is not there. I call Regina police, and they're like, oh, what street do you live on? Oh yeah, we had to tow your vehicle because they were plowing it and they couldn't plow. They towed it two blocks down, like closer to like Grant Road almost. And there's like at least 17 vehicles from that street with tickets on their windshield because they towed it there. And funny enough, they towed it there to the next street that they were gonna plow next. So they would have had to tow it again. And that ticket was $85. This.
Imagine you went on vacation, you come back, free tickets. Like.
Yeah. Like.
Well, that's the city of Regina for you, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
That's how it worked. Yeah. They like to drill you with tickets and like not inform you when there's gonna be like a snow route. Like yep. The people at our training course, a $95 ticket, parking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
One girl got two of them.
Yep.
And I was like, my condolences. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, we should probably wrap this up. Hey?
We should probably do it. Anyways, that's been Behind the Showroom, the podcast by Wheat and Kia. Again, I'm Tyler, and that is
Matthew.
And there you go. Tune in next time for wonderful topics that we have ready for you guys.
This podcast was created by Wheat and Kia in Regina, Saskatchewan, and hosted by Matthew Vonk and Tyler Prasad. Direction, production, engineering, and editing was done by Tyler Nibbs, with music by Emil Axelson. Music and sound effects are licensed by Epidemic Sound and Soundly.